As we wrap up 2024, the pop culture experts at Consequence are back with our annual report, celebrating the year's best in music and entertainment. And this time, we're bringing you something extra, a brand new podcast series exclusively on Amazon Music. Get inside access with interviews featuring the year's biggest artists, actors, and filmmakers, plus discussions with the Consequence team on our best of the year lists. And the best part, you can tune in with Amazon Music Unlimited, now free for 3 months. For a limited time, get 3 months of Amazon Music Unlimited free by visiting tryamazonmusic.com/COS. You'll get over 100 million songs in stunning HD sound, on demand and ad-free, plus top ad-free products, including the Consequence Annual Report Podcast. Every Amazon Music Unlimited subscriber now gets one free audiobook from Audible each month. Celebrate the best of 2024 with Consequence's annual report all December at consequence.net. And don't miss the companion podcast by signing up for 3 free months of Amazon Music Unlimited at tryamazonmusic.com/COS or clicking the link in the show description. That's tryamazonmusic.com/COS.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I got to take this thing off of that weird speaker. I need you talk so that I can look at your background.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button if you're not already. I'll give you 3 new interviews just like this one every single week. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can grab us Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. Those always help out so much. We've had some great guests stop by lately, including Christina Milian, Deval Ellis, and Pentatonix, all here to talk about the movie Meet Me Next Christmas, playing now on Netflix. Danny O'Donohue from The Script was here, R.E.M., Judith Light, legendary actress, along with Courtney Taylor to talk about the Disney show Out of My Mind. Richard Curtis, he's the creator of Notting Hill and Love Actually, 4 Weddings and a Funeral. He has a new Netflix Christmas animated film called That Christmas that we talked about. Claire Forlani from Meet Joe Black and Mallrats, along with John Tenney, they both dropped by to talk about Cruel Intentions, the new TV series. It's out now on Prime. We had legendary filmmaker John Waters here, Tori Amos, Martin Cove from Cobra Kai and The Karate Kid, Maren Morris, Susanna Hoffs from The Bengals, Adele, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Chris Diamantopoulos. What an incredible resume this guy has. You've seen him in the Three Stooges movie back in 2012. Of course, lots of people know him from Silicon Valley. He is the voice of Mickey Mouse. Yeah, like that's like you're going to be a voice actor. That's the gig you land. We're going to talk about all of those things. And mostly we're going to be talking about this new series on Prime called The Sticky. It comes out December 6th. It's a series that's inspired by the infamous 2011 Canadian maple syrup heist. Oh, it's very Canadian. He's going to describe his character as the delusional wannabe leading man who's hilariously out of his depth, reveal the show's Coen Brothers-esque vibe, quirky French soundtrack, and uniquely Canadian charm. We're also going to be talking about the voicing Mickey Mouse and embodying bumbling anti-heroes. He'll share tales of his home life, including a tortoise destined to outlive us all. all that and more. We're talking The Sticky out on December 6th on Prime. It's Kyle Meredith with Chris Diamantopoulos.
Hiya, Kyle. You said that like you're like related to me. By the way, three interviews a week?
Three interviews a week.
Artist, working man in show business.
Okay. I think I don't know if I can take that crown from you because I would say the same thing about you. So
we got to keep plugging away, don't we? It keeps us moving. I like it.
You got to keep working. I don't know if you're that type of person. I'm no good when I'm not working. And so
it's when the demons creep in, man. I tell you, I loathe holidays, summer break, Christmas break. I like Christmas. I like summer. I just would like it if the motor didn't stop. Let's just keep moving. Let's keep going.
Yeah. There's the joke around my house. It's my wife has to like sort of beg me to go on vacations with her.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's fine if it's like, I like a road trip vacation because it's, I have a task, right?
Yeah.
Like there's something that can happen. She wants to go to the beach. And I'm like, I'm no good on the beach. let me bring my computer and I'll be fine.
We're like golden retrievers. We've got to have a task, a beginning and an end. I absolutely agree. I have four children, a golden retriever, two cats, and a 130-pound tortoise. So I need to keep moving.
How old is your tortoise?
The tortoise is 16 years old. We just adopted him. It's my wife shows up one day and she's like, "Hey, you look great." I'm like, "What?" She's like, "You look so. I feel like you've been eating better or exercising." No, I'm eating the same shit. You look really good. Okay, thanks.
Buttering you up.
You're so funny. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? She's like, we adopted a tortoise. I'm like, okay, how much is this going to cost me? She goes, nothing. And then like $7,000 later, I'm building a storybook tortoise sanctuary with a cobblestone steps that lead into the tortoise chalet. What the fuck?
Oh my God.
Sorry, am I allowed to swear on this? I'm not allowed to swear on this, am I?
You can swear all you want, please.
Oh, thank God.
You know what? Even swear excessively, by the way. Just swear when you don't need
okay,
to.
Good. Because I like to let the expletives fly early in the morning.
And tortoises, like, that's what I say. Like, I don't know if a regular tortoise is like a sea tortoise can live like 200 years.
This will live over 130 years. So I have to put this thing into my will, like a water feature. So whoever buys the fucking house has to like grow lettuce for the tortoise. I'm going to work until the day I die because I love it, but also because
the tortoise
needs a lot of fucking lettuce. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, it's one thing to send your kids off to college, but now.
Yeah, no, exactly. Wordle's got to eat.
Well, good luck to you on that. And luckily you're doing some quality work out there and staying busy. The latest thing we see you in is The Sticky on Prime, which is, so this is a fun show. Let's hear about this because the real story is that there was a maple syrup heist of enormous magnitude. And the story that you all are telling is not that story, correct?
Well, here's the deal. We are telling a story akin to that story. It's like, look, in this day and age, back in the day, you used to say based on a true story and everyone just naturally assumed that what happened in the movie was what happened. It's exactly the same thing. It's just in these days, you know, everyone's much more litigious and going back and, oh, no, that he was wearing blue pants, not red on 1971, not 19. So, yes. This is based on a heist that happened in northern Canada in 2011, I believe. So many people don't know this, but the global maple syrup business is run by this association in northern Canada, I believe. And they dole out how much maple syrup goes to where and which farmers can produce more or less. And they keep it all in a repository. Is that the word? Not suppository.
Yeah.
That's something else.
Well, that'd be different. Yeah, we don't want that. Different.
Keeping the maple in a suppository is a sweet way to wake up. Anyway.
When we call the story The Sticky at that point, it means something completely different.
It's different. Oh, God. I always turn things into an episode of Maury Povich or Hard Copy. Anyway, so this is true. And these drums, like oil drums, barrels of maple syrup are stored in this massive warehouse, these massive warehouses. Each of them is worth several thousand dollars. And there are thousands of them, tens of thousands of them, just waiting for when the association decides they're going to ship them into different places. Well, someone in 2011 realized that warehouse was unguarded and there's a huge market, a black market for maple syrup.
Of course there
and
is.
They decided to try to steal tens of millions. I think it was close to $20 million worth of maple syrup. And that's what our story's about. And I play the idiot.
And we'll be right back, right after this.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Chris Diamantopoulos.
You know, there are touch points that I immediately go to, something like Fargo and a little Coen Brothers-esque and everything. You know, like you've got, like much like what the Coens do, you know, you've got these characters who are so bumbling in everything that they do, but you want them to win even though they're not exactly good?
Look, I have a history of playing characters that shouldn't have a single redemptive characteristic, and that people should loathe them. And by all accounts, they are loathsome, but it is fun to try and find the almost like just the last ember of humanity in a character like that and see if you can spark, first of all, the humor, but then maybe even a little bit of that, oh, fuck, I kind of want him to succeed vibe. And so that is a lot of fun. Yeah, I play a guy who from the very beginning, like walking by, you're like, ooh, that guy's got his shit together. And unfortunately, it's such a thin veneer. It's like dust. It's gossamer. It could blow away so easily, and it does. And that's one of the things that the show does really well is it gives us this cataclysmic tumble down effect of it starts here and it just gets worse and worse.
It just gets worse
and worse. It's really fun.
Now, why do you think that you end up in those characters? Like, do those characters come to you or do you seek them out?
I'm sure you talk to a lot of actors that will give you an idea of how they look for their roles. And
I mean, I think a lot of actors, the roles are like, am I working today?
Look, I've been a working actor, a professional working actor for 40 years. Okay. And there have been times where I'll look and find something and think, oh, wow, I'm honing in on that. I want to do that. That has to happen. And it happens. There are times where I hone in on it and it doesn't happen. But for the most part, I'm reading as much material as I possibly can, whatever's out there. And I try and see where I might be able to match the value that I can add and how I can have a really great time and deliver a performance that I'm proud of. In this instance, Brian and Ed aren't going to like this story, but it's true. I read this script when Blumhouse had this script, and I just thought it was brilliant. I wanted to be a part of it. I didn't even know what I wanted to do in it, but I knew I wanted to be a part of it. And there wasn't a heck of a lot of interest. Now, I will say, in their defense, the role that I'm playing originally was meant for an older character actor. And there was there were physical characteristics written in. I got to say, though, there was no way that somebody that wasn't physically adept could have played that role, because what I'm doing in that show, man, that's one of the most physically demanding performances. And you wouldn't necessarily know it when you're watching it, sort of in retrospect. But there's some stuff that I had to do there that was insane. Anyway, it took about a year and a half to finally be able to go, you know, over here, take a gander. And it was sort of met with a, well, not what we had in mind, you know, not sure. And then when we met, it was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, yeah, right? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, let's go. And that was it.
You're perfect for it. A colleague of mine, you know, we were talking about this interview coming up and sort of building off what you were saying, because I feel like you do hit this middle spot. She goes, when she thinks of you, she said, he's like a character actor soul with a leading man chin.
Oh, can you just give me her address? Because the check's it's on the way. I wasn't sure if it was a P.O. box or an apartment number. Oh.
Yeah, no, because in these moments, like when you're trying to pitch yourself, like that's probably at least a little bit of a hurdle.
I'm not the prototypical either, and I'm sort of in the midst of both. But I look to someone like the patron saint of all character actors, Mr. Bryan Cranston, and I think, well, he fit a similar vibe. He has a charming air. He's a handsome guy, but he's also charactery and quirky, and he also happens to be an incredible, soulful talent. Also happens to be a close personal friend, and I look to him for guidance in all aspects of of the business, both in how it's run, but and more importantly, in how I deal with it, how I take it all in. And he's been an incredible, incredible friend.
I think he just started or got part of a bourbon line here in town.
Oh, is that right?
Because everybody's getting in the drinks, you know.
That's, listen, I'll tell you what. I know what you're talking about.
Look at that right there.
Yeah. So we did, when I did Silicon Valley, I played a horrible character named Russ Hanneman, who was a billionaire who was obsessed with commas because he was part of the Three Comma Club. And Mike Judge and HBO and I released a limited run of this stuff called Tres Comas, and it's quite delicious.
Everybody's getting part of the drinks. See,
that's it.
Now I've got to get off on this detour right here.
Yeah.
Like how much work is that part of your life?
Oh, that was a happy little a little promotion here and there, and now. But I will say, Mike and Alec and I are actually thinking about bringing it back full throttle, actually doing a proper full release. So I'm hoping to make it a bigger part of my life. What is a big part of my life is walking down the street and having people yell, "This guy fucks," at me when I'm walking with my children. And I'll just say, appreciate the sentiment, but you know, when I have to tell a 4-year-old, no, he said this guy's a fox. And then my 4-year-old goes, "Why are you a fox?" And I'm like, they just think I'm foxy.
Great looking. Yeah, 'cause I got a leading man chin. That's why.
That's it.
But that, you know, that phrase there, the character, so like that's the character also in the Sticky. Like that's okay. Him, right? Like
yes.
This is that veneer you're talking about, you know, that's
he leads with the chin, and we realize very quickly thereafter there's not much leading man there. He wants to, in his mind, he's the leading man. He hears like, you know, Ennio Morricone soundtracks in the background, and he thinks he's got it. And then you've got Margot Martindale's character, the great love of my life, Margot Martindale, who basically slaps him like Mo would slap Larry, right? And Margot pulls us together. And then we've got Guillaume Cyr, who is just, I think people are going to meet him and fall in love with him. It's such an odd trio. And it makes me happy that the world gets to have this experience around the holiday time. Because I think people are going to curl up and they are going to just fucking devour this.
And it's great. And of course, Jamie Lee and, you know, having her part, just like everybody was so hitting the marks, you know,
Jamie Lee Curtis, man. Jamie Lee Curtis could power a small country with her energy. She showed up. She worked on camera with us for about a couple weeks, I think. And she's one of those people that from beginning to end has energy at 11, to quote her husband's movie, and it doesn't stop. And it's the most infectious and beautiful tribute to a life spent in this industry. And she loves it. And she makes everyone around her love it. And she makes everyone around her better.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Chris Diamantopoulos.
And what I also love about it, it's like, it's a very Canadian story. It's not exclusive, you know. I mean, everybody can, like it's, but it's so Canadian. I love the idea that, like, correct me, like you grew up in Ontario, but you're playing a guy from Boston.
Yes,
in an otherwise
isn't that
Canadian
funny?
Show.
I know, totally. I'm the American in the Canadian show, and I'm the Canadian. Yeah, I grew up in Toronto. I left home when I was a teenager and moved to New York City to work on Broadway. But I always, again, going back to how do I look for a role? I do look for stuff that's happening in Canada or that's Canadian themed, if there's something right for me, because I love working in Canada and I love Canada. And it was fun to be the American. And I added a ton of, you know, disgruntled emotion from this guy who really just fucking hated the cold.
It was hilarious.
Fun. A lot of fun.
The soundtrack too caught me off guard because it's all the popular songs, but
isn't that clever?
Yeah.
They do it in French. They do these French pop songs. They do the pop song that you would remember, like Lollipop, but done in a French cover, which I think is such a clever way to create a brand stamp on a show with music. And it really creates an air. I think the thing that The Sticky accomplishes more than anything is creating a world that we haven't seen before. It's dirty. It's a little brown, sepia-esque. It's an underworld. It's this underbelly of northern Canada meeting the northern states. And it's just, it's gooey. Yeah.
Might it be sticky even?
I'll take it.
Because it's not how we typically think of, you know, the Great White
No.
North or something like that. But that's, I mean, again, you're right. That's what, because it's not what you expect the entire
That's right.
time.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, exactly.
And it's not a resolve season, and I'm not going to say anything spoilery and anything like that because, you know, I don't know how this works, like, because, you know, people have to watch it, I guess, for them to go, let's do more of this.
I think, and Amazon in particular sort of has been doing that. I just worked on another show, Ed Brubaker's Criminal, which is coming out with Emilia Clarke and Charlie Hunnam and Luke Evans. But I think what they're doing is they release like 4 or 6 episode events. You know, they sort of gauge and then they'll carry on type thing. So yeah, I think we're teed up very, very well to carry on.
Once everybody makes it to the end, chef's kiss on that last episode, especially, and everything. Really, the two last two episodes, I think, and everything that's happening there. That's when the real fun starts showing itself.
It's true. Yeah, and then you really start opening the world and realizing where this can go. Yeah, it's very exciting. I'm really glad that you enjoyed it.
Now, on the other side of your career as a voice actor, how much of that do you factor in when you're going into a character like this? Like finding the voice. There are some actors, you know, depending on the character, it really is like finding the voice.
Oh, 100%. Finding the voice is the way in, and we toyed with, because he's, you know, technically Bostonian, we toyed with a Boston accent. The thing was, when we go deep into his backstory, he's probably a transplant from somewhere else. The reason that he is as insecure as he is, the reason he has his Napoleonic complex, is because he's not from anywhere. He's never fit in. So even his little mob group in Boston, he's not from them. They welcomed him in. So we thought it might be, if I did the Bostonian, then that would mean that I'm rooted somewhere, and my being an albatross doesn't necessarily sort of pan out. So yeah, I think with this one, it was more the energy and the physicality. But yeah, with every character, whether it's on camera or animation, the voices, I mean, that's everything. It's the reason I got into the business is because I have this silly facility with my voice, being able to change it and adapt it and mimic other people and stuff like that. So that's what gets me out of bed in the morning. You know, I mean, when Mickey Mouse was on the table, I sort of shied away from it because I'm a bass baritone. I didn't think I was going to be able to add value to that. And then I watched a documentary with Walt Disney, and I saw him talking into camera, and I listened to his voice, and he smoked a lot, but he had a very low voice, and the interviewer asked him to do Mickey Mouse, and he went, "Oh boy!" And I thought, "Oh, I could do that." And then the rest is history. And it was such an incredible part of my career. I wear
Yeah,
this.
I mean to have to I mean I don't know that there's anything higher than Mickey, right? Like that's arguable. But that's really the tops. But also to have like, you know, you're in Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, Beavis and Butthead and Invincible and Blood of Zeus and, yeah, Solar Opposites and all sorts of things, and Diary of a Wimpy Kid. I love it, and I bring the same aplomb to each project. And some of them really want charactery stuff, and others want very, very natural reads. It's super fun to work with these different showrunners that have ideas of what their world is, and to be able to be a tool for them. Because let it be known, I'm a tool.
You set that one up for yourself and just not
Yeah,
put it out there.
listen, yeah.
First base hit. Yeah, I had a Hank Azaria on here the other day because
Oh,
he's, I
wow.
don't know if you've kept up with Hank, but he's got this Bruce Springsteen tribute band that he's doing. And that's what he's been developing the boss's voice on stage. And he does a whole set as the boss.
Wow, that's so, I've always been such a huge admirer of his, man.
But we were
Wow.
talking, and it's like to get into someone that deep. Like where you're not even just the voice, like, you know, you're doing the whole thing. I don't know if it ever happens with you, but have you ever had any moment like that that's held on, like, I guess what I'm saying, like hard to shake?
I did a movie early in my career that really sort of opened my eyes to how much I want to work as a character actor. I did a TV movie in 2005 for NBC called Behind the Camera, The Unauthorized Story of Mork and Mindy. And they were looking for Robin Williams, and I didn't even consider it. My wife was like, "Why wouldn't you do this? You do all those voices, you have that energy." I was like, no, I don't look anything like him. I don't sound anything like him." She's like, "Well, change that. You're an actor." And I was like, "Becky, they're not going to hire me." And sure enough, I started thinking about it, and I started watching some of his stuff on, you know, Actors Studio, and I thought, "Oh, maybe, you know." And so I started messing around with it, and then that 3-week shoot, I didn't break character. Oh, choke them if they can't take a fuck. I really sort of went straight, full throttle into it, and I couldn't shake it. I would do interviews, you know, a year later, and I'd go, oh, and I'd be like, what am I doing? You know, it happened with Stooges too, when I was, you know, pulling face, watch what you're doing, look what, you know, and I would constantly, you know, someone would say something, what, you know, and I couldn't get out of it. So yeah, it's good to let it go.
I mean, it's so interesting, you know, when you think about your brain, like, you know, was it Austin Butler who got kind of ridiculed because he couldn't get rid of the Elvis voice for a while. But I'm like, but the guy lived with it for like a year. Like, I can't knock him for that.
Yeah, ridicule, schmidicule. If they're ridiculing you, that means they're paying attention. Butler's all right in my book, man. That kid can do it.
Dude can do it. I would say the same about you. And I say that in this nice rappy uppy moment here, because the sticky is so good in everything I see you in. I love you in all the stuff. And I guess when I hear you too, and I don't even know that I'm hearing you half the time. And then I figured out afterwards, like, my God, the guy is so talented.
That's very, very nice of you to say. I love that I know who you are now. I'm a Luddite, right? I don't pay attention to much. I got four kids and many animals. But I think you're great at your craft, and I'm really happy that I got a chance to sit down and chat with you, man. Thanks.
Yeah, man. And good luck with that turtle.
Yeah.
It'll outlive us all.
Yeah, he will. The stories he could tell.
Congrats on the sticky. I can't wait for more of this show.
December 6th on Amazon. People are going to absolutely love it. And thanks for your enthusiasm, dude.
And my thanks to Chris. The sticky starts December 6th on Prime. And of course, thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can grab three interviews just like this one every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And don't forget to give the series a rating and leave a review. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. Where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Leonard Cohen, Francois Hardy, Richard Hell, Pretenders, Veruca Salt, Janis Joplin, Silverchair, Miles Smith, Lizzo, Belle and Sebastian, Faces, Derek and the Dominoes, Casey Musgraves, John Lennon, Joan Jett, and my interview with Kirk Hammett of Metallica. That's what you can hear when you tune in weeknights, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Yeah, you've got such a positive vibe, man. It's easy to talk to you.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.